fascinating to see what scripture passage presidents have chosen. Rarely did they choose a passage that had been used by another president. Yet our two scripture lessons for this morning represent verses chosen more than once. Andrew Johnson and James Garfield were both drawn to Proverbs 21. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he will. A verse that shows humility and a willingness to trust in the Lord. Our passage from the New Testament is what we know as the Beatitudes, and these familiar verses were used by Harry Truman and George H.W. Bush. Both of these presidents used the entire passage, not just a verse, as often was the practice. They didn't just focus on, blessed are the peacemakers, for they should be called children of God. But both Truman and Bush wanted to be guided by all of these verses. All of these verses that hold up as blessed so many different people. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, those persecuted for righteousness' sake, and those who are persecuted because of their beliefs and faith in God. Throughout our nation's history, presidents and other leaders have sought to recognize God. And this was true of the founding leaders of our nation. Yet, just as is true churchmen, and also doubters. You had George Washington, who was not known to ever have taken communion, as we will this morning. And supposedly, one bishop who knew him was confident Washington was not a believer. Thomas Jefferson would use a knife to literally cut out of his Bible certain verses in the New Testament, but made sure the local priest buried it. Benjamin Franklin is known to have rewritten the Lord's Prayer into 18th century conversational language. But yet respects the right of everyone to believe and not believe in whatever God they choose. It's a delicate balancing act. And it has obvious inconsistencies and ones that are often put to the test. But it has served us well, and we should guard it well and celebrate it joyfully. So what? So what about the role of the church in all of this? After all, that's why we're here, not so much for this American history lesson, but for understanding how God, the one we worship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is calling us to live. First, I will say that we need to respect the idea of separation between church and state. It's not up to Christians to impose our faith upon our nation. Just as I do not want our U.S. government trying to enforce the church to believe and act in a certain way. We need to be tolerant and humble. We need to respect liberty and freedom. We need to not insist on our own way, but allow people to worship and believe as they desire. The church must also pray for our country, demonstrating that we do believe in what is written on our currency. In God we trust. In 2 Chronicles, we read, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear and heal their land." If we pray for our country, God will hear and heal our land. I also think that as Christians, we can be a moral conscience in our society. And that should affect how we vote. We should apply our beliefs to how we elect our leaders, considering if their policies promote justice and peace. Do their policies favor the widows and orphans of our society, the oppressed and disenfranchised? This doesn't mean I'm endorsing a certain political party. The saying is true. God is not a Republican or a Democrat. God is on the side of justice and mercy. As the church, we can also exercise our moral conscience by using our voice to advocate for those things the prophet Micah tells us that the Lord requires of us, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. We need to use our voice and our collective power, especially to bring about justice and mercy for those without a voice. So in doing these things, we are being faithful to both the intentions of the God we love and also the intentions of our founding leaders, who we honor this weekend. In doing these things, we are not trying to create a Christian nation, but we are striving to be faithful Christians in our nation, calling our nation's attention to God and to God's righteousness.